righteousness. Last week, Rocky talked to us about proverbial parenting, and I trust that you gained much from that, just as you will next week when Rocky talks about his favorite topic from the Proverbs on humility. Yeah, right. Yeah, how to do it, right? And he's going to set himself forward as an example of humility. And then the next week, Chuck Jacob will be speaking to us about wisdom and morality, and especially looking at sexual morality in our generation. And then Paul Swetz is going to take on the topic from Proverbs, something that we desperately need. I need it. Although I'll be away, I'll be getting the tape, believe me, on the use of your tongue. That one's going to hurt. So get ready. And then we'll launch a study of Galatians for this fall that I believe will be very timely for all of us. Well, let's take our Bibles and open up to the book of Proverbs. And as you know, the Proverbs are not just an anthology of wise sayings, but they introduce us into the life of Jesus Christ. And we must always keep that in mind as we study the Proverbs. But we're going to look at some selected Proverbs that have to do with the nature of friendships. It's amazing to me how friendships reveal the person. I was talking to a person some years ago who had spent time worshiping in Westminster Chapel in London, England, where someone that I've respected for many years was the pastor, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. After attending this church for some months, my friend made an appointment to see Dr. Lloyd-Jones, who had appointments on Sunday afternoons in between services for people to come see him for counsel. They were quick sessions because there was a long line. But this man waited to see Dr. Lloyd-Jones because he wanted to join the church. And I still remember because I asked my friend, I said, "What did he ask you?" I wanted to know what Dr. Lloyd-Jones asked my friend. And he said the first thing he asked me was, he said, "Well, I've seen you around. It's been nice to have you among our people." He said, "Tell me, who are your good friends in the congregation?" And after that conversation, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, who is, they call him the last of the great Puritans in our generation. He's 20th century. He said to my friend, "Well, you simply go to the clerk and let him know you'd like to join the church." And my friend said to Dr. Lloyd-Jones, "Dr. Lloyd-Jones," and they just called him the doctor because he was a medical doctor before he was a pastor. They said, "Dr. Lloyd-Jones, aren't you going to ask me about my faith?" And he said, "I already know." That was the end of the conversation. We are all known by our friends. It's very interesting to me. I used to go to wedding rehearsal dinners. Now I just go to the rehearsal. I'm afraid there are too many of them to go to all the dinners. I love going to them. I'm sorry that I can't do that anymore. But I remember in going to them years ago how much I would learn about the bride and groom at the rehearsal dinner. Some of you are embarrassed. Isn't it true? Your friends come and they think there are absolutely no constraints to begin with, which is sad, and yet revealing, isn't it? Because they recount what has been most enjoyable for you and the fond memories that you have. And it is revealing about our character, our friendships, those with whom your soul knits say much about your soul and mine. So we come to this study because it's very, very important. The friends of the wise. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your sacred word and pray that we may attend to it as the friends of God, who would learn what kind of companions and friends and soulmates you would have us seek, and how you would call upon us to be the friends of others. Speak, O Lord, for your servants and your friends listen. Amen. All right, let us look at chapter 12 in Proverbs, verse 26. We'll just look at some selected verses. 12:26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, But with many advisors, they succeed. 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And then 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, we all know something about friends. I remember reading a story about Oscar Levant, the great pianist and wit, who was being examined by the recruiting board for the armed services during World War II. And the examiner said to Mr. Levant, he said, "Are you able to kill?" And Oscar thought for a moment and he said, "Well, I don't know about strangers, but friends, yes." You remember one time that Ruth Bell Graham was asked what she would do if her husband, if she would divorce her husband if he committed adultery. And she said, "No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't divorce him. I'd kill him." And so we all know sometimes the frustrations of friendships. Because when you get close to someone, that's when they have the power to really hurt you. That's the danger of getting married, of course, is that now someone's going to know you intimately and they have all kinds of power to hurt you. And all of us have been hurt by friends. All of us. Every single one of us. And sometimes we've been hurt so deeply that we are resistant to developing close friendships. Sometimes it may have to do with the fact that you moved around so much as a kid. You learn that you don't want to develop too close a friendship because as soon as you do, sure enough, it's going to break your heart again. You learn that lesson. You learned it too well. And now you're an adult. You're in the same place, but you're still acting like a kid who bounces around all the time. You just learned these instincts. You learned how to do it, and you haven't learned to relearn. But the Bible tells us something very important. That if you love God, you must learn to develop friendships. If you love God, you must love your brother and sister. If you love God, you must love your neighbor. Because here is the bottom line and the fact of the matter. To the degree to which you develop friendships with sinful human beings, you are developing your friendship with God. I know it doesn't sound fair. God's perfect. But God is a being. He has personality. He must be related to as a personality. And if you are not relating successfully to others, you are not relating successfully to Him. The Bible always connects the two. This is the reason, you see, that friendship and wisdom are connected. Because wisdom comes from a relationship. Wisdom comes from being in love with the all-wise God. And that is how His wisdom and His righteousness are infused in your life, is because you're close to Him, you're loyal to Him, you know Him, and you care about Him and He about you. And therefore, your human relationships become divinely important. Now, this morning, I would like for us to take the few minutes that we have and look at three things. Number one, how do you begin a friendship with people? You say, ding, dong, ABC. Well, folks, we all need to review how to become friends. Because you know what? Sometimes we have so many friends, we don't want any more friends. You ever feel like that? If you come from a big family, you're always looking for a closet, you know, looking for private space. If you deal with people a lot, sometimes you're not as available for friendship as you ought to be. Let's talk about how to begin a friendship. Secondly, how to become a good friend. And thirdly, how to become a best friend. Because you see, in the Proverbs even, there are categories. You'll find the word neighbor used over and over again. We're to be kind and gracious and righteous with all of our neighbors. Doesn't matter what religion they belong to, doesn't matter what color their skin is, what gender they are, how old they are. We're to be kind and gracious and friendly to all of our neighbors. And then we're to develop a company of friends among us. And we're to know how to develop those friendships. And then, thirdly, you'll find in the Bible that there's a word that's not used very often. It's the word for partner. It's the closest of friends. It's soulmate. And every single one of us needs to know how to develop a soulmate. We'll look at that briefly. First of all, how to begin a good friendship. Well, I learned something some time ago, that there are many things we must do to make good friendships. But the bottom line is, a friend is a gift of God. You cannot make a friend. Now, you can be one, but you can't make one. Only God can give a friendship. And so whenever you have a friend, you lift up your eyes and thank the giver of that gift. Because you cannot control another person. You cannot control your spouse, your children, your parents, your best friend. You can only be a friend. And certainly that usually contributes to making friends. But God makes friendships. So, first point, pray. Are you lonely? Do you feel like you don't have some good friends? I had someone say just recently, I don't think I have a friend in this world. Feature that. Not a friend in this world. My dear friend, if you don't feel as though you have a friend, you start praying and ask God for it. And that's exactly what he wants you to do, because when the friendship comes, he wants you to know it came from him. Seek him in prayer. Ask him for the gift of a friend. Secondly, take advantage of opportunities to build friendships. Do you know why we don't do that sometimes? Because we don't want to admit that we need a friend. Well, I'm not going to go to that gathering. Those people are just needy. Everybody's just looking for a friend. Oh, is that bad? I thought that's what the Bible said was good. And sometimes we don't even get in the flow of where people are and where potential friends are. Take advantage of the opportunities unapologetically. Because you cannot minister to other people unless you have friendships. And we are called to be ministers. So you are seeking friends not only for your own gratification, but you are seeking friends in order to have ministry. And you can't do it without friends. So take advantage of the opportunities. Thirdly, cultivate genuine interest in other people. Cultivate genuine interest in them. I know this is hard for some of us because we're so interested in ourselves. You know, a boring person talks about himself, doesn't he? If you say someone's a bore, have you ever said that? I'm going to ask for a show of hands, but you've said it. I've said it. What makes them boring? They talk about themselves all the time. What makes a person fascinating and interesting? Because they ask you the questions all the time. They want to get to know you. Of course, that makes you the bore. But they are a friend because they're genuinely interested in you. One time in the Amen Bible study, I said to the husbands that were there, I said, I got an experiment for you. Now, I'm giving it away because some of you wives didn't know. But I said, I want you to go home tonight after work, and I want you to spend 15 minutes straight only asking your wife questions without making any statements. It was interesting to compare notes the next week. Some of you found them out because they never do that. And some of you were absolutely amazed. And for some of you, it was normal procedure. If you really want to know how to be a friend and to begin friendships, learn to seek other people and seek to learn about them. Fourthly, be yourself. One of the greatest mistakes people make in trying to develop friendships is to find out what you want from a friend, and I'm going to try to be what you want. That's a disaster. All I'm going to learn from that is that making friends is a futile vanity and worthless. Because pretty soon, if you are my friend, you're going to find me out. And then you're not going to like what you found out. And then we're not going to be friends because you thought you made friends with this sort of a person, and I'm really this sort of a person, and the heartache is worse later than it would be now if I just wrote it off. You don't like me the way I am. But if I have a friendship with Christ, I can bear that and go on to the next person and still love you. Be yourself. Give someone a predictable target. It's one of the biggest mistakes people make in courtship. I know we clean up and dress up and we're romantic and we put our best foot forward and all that kind of thing, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it is not deceitful. When you pretend to be someone else, you are not giving the other person an opportunity to make a real friendship. You must be yourself. That provides for long-term friendships. Then fifthly, the Bible says clearly, we saw it in chapter 12, verse 26, be selective. Did you hear? Be selective. That doesn't mean that you're not kind to all people, but it means that you're taking the Bible seriously when it says a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I always tell folks, you know, that you have to watch out whom you date. Because, you know, here's the simple fact of the matter. You will end up marrying someone you dated. Duh. You know, the spouse comes from the pool of your companions. They don't just come dropped out of the sky. They are gifts of God, but they come through your relationship with your friends. Do you know when I met my wife? I was at a high school dance. She was in the eighth grade. I was in the ninth. You have to watch out who you date in the ninth grade. Could end up being your wife. You must watch out with whom you share your heart. Because companions can lead the heart astray, as with Solomon in the latter part of his life. And you must be selective. And so often I see people who are exercising almost no discernment with the companions with whom they party and do business and make friends. And that only reveals this, that their chief companion is not Jesus Christ. Those of you who are married and have healthy marriages, would you have a best friendship with someone who despised your spouse? Of course not. You could not possibly bear it. You wouldn't have a best friendship with someone who was not even a good friend of your spouse, much less not despising them. If Jesus Christ is your bridegroom, would you have a best friendship with someone who despises him? Of course not. That is where discernment comes from in relationships. It comes from your friendship with Jesus Christ. And then sixthly, be patient. People develop friendships at different rates. Listen, I want to tell you, I love Dutch people. My predecessor is a very noble Dutchman, and you know him well, and you know his heart, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person. But you know, even they will tell you, they develop relationships typically a little slower in different ways. Well, one time, years ago, I had a wonderful Dutchman who was an elder on the session. And in one of my first long visits with him, I went out to his house and we sat down and had Cokes together or something. And I said to him, Ken, tell me about your spiritual life. And he had this blank stare. And he said, I said, Ken, hello? I said, tell me about your spiritual life. He said, you don't know me well enough to ask that question. I said, I'm sorry, I'm a Southerner. I didn't know any better. Be patient. Different people develop intimacy at different rates. That doesn't mean they're not intimate. It doesn't mean that they don't build very deep, long-lasting, loyal friendships. But different people like to stand a little closer when they talk, and some further away, and some take time. And if you lose your patience, you're going to lose some great friendships. Be patient. Now, let's move on to talk about how to develop a good friendship. We've got about 5 minutes here. We'll see what happens. First of all, this. The most common statement that friends make about what friendship is that they get unconditional acceptance. Your best friends accept you in your worst moments. A brother is made for adversity. A friend loves at all times. And if you want to be a good friend and have good friends, you learn to accept them with all of their warts and all of their scars and wounds. Secondly, if you want to be a friend and develop good friendships, you will learn to take advice from the friends you have selected. And if you have selected them well, they ought to be giving you good advice. And if you want to go deeper with that friend, you must listen to them. And if you don't listen to them, one of two things: you either selected your friendship poorly and you know better, Or secondly, you're very stubborn. And stubbornness creates a boundary to a good friendship. You will find in the Proverbs over and over again that a wise man listens to counsel. Plans fail for lack of counsel. Plans fail because we don't listen. Thirdly, you must, if you want to develop a really good friendship, be committed to Christ first. This is undoubtedly the biggest mistake that people make. This is where the lack of discernment goes out the window, because Christ is not the first friend. We're not appreciating His presence in that friendship. And if you want a good friend, you'd be committed to Christ first. Let me put it this way. The only way that we can develop a really deep, lasting friendship is if we are willing to lose the friendship. You say, huh? Yeah. Because if Christ is first, that's the only unconditional, unwavering, non-negotiable relationship. If that's non-negotiable, then every other relationship is negotiable, ultimately. And you cannot build an ultimate loyalty with someone over whom you have no control. But Jesus Christ has revealed Himself as the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you can build a long-lasting, loyal relationship with Him. This is true even in marriage. The only way you can really have a friend out of your spouse is if you don't have to have your spouse. As soon as that becomes the non-negotiable relationship of your life, you end up manipulating your spouse and demanding that relationship out of your spouse rather than simply being a loving friend to your spouse and giving them the freedom to love you back and make a decision about whether they're going to be faithful in that marriage. So when you have to have a friend, you lose your friend. There is a rugged individual commitment to Christ that provides the only foundation for healthy, deep, long-lasting friendships. So, Christ first. And then I would say, fourthly, learn to encourage. So interesting with David and Jonathan. When Jonathan's daddy was trying to kill his best friend, David, Jonathan swore himself by covenant to David. Made an oath with him that even though Jonathan was the heir apparent of the dynasty, he was going to give up the dynasty because he saw in David what God wanted. He saw David from God's eyes, and he knew David was the man. He gave up even loyalty to his own father, gave up the rights of the dynasty. He only said to David, "Would you protect my children? Don't slay them as many kings do when they take over a dynasty, slay the previous dynasty's children." He said, "Be faithful to my children." And David swore himself by oath and covenant. They were soul brothers. But you will find with Jonathan, when David was out in the wilderness hiding from Saul, Jonathan went out to him and encouraged him in the Lord. I would love to have been there. What he said undoubtedly was, "David, you're the man, you're God's person. Don't let my father intimidate you. You stand before God and be what you're supposed to be. Now let's pray together, David. Let's get down on our knees and pray." Now there's a friend. And so he encouraged. And then serve. Sixthly, I find that people don't have friends because they only want a certain type of friend. I'm not talking about moral character. I'm talking about position in this world. If you don't care what position your friends have or what possessions they own or what power they exert, they're friends for you. I'm telling you, there's not a person in this room who cannot develop a good friendship if you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one person. If you don't care who your friend is in terms of this world. Serve. There's always someone to serve, and there's always someone who will seek and benefit from your friendship. Now lastly, let's look at how to be a best friend. Let's look at how to be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a Daniel. Let's look at how to be a David and a Jonathan. Let's look at how to be a Jesus and a John who rested his head on Jesus' breast. First of all, this, you can't do it without loyalty. And sometimes your friends can really embarrass you. Sometimes your friends can be the one, when you go visit them, you visit them in the courthouse. Sometimes you visit them drunk in a bar. Sometimes you visit them in places where you're not too thrilled, but they're your friends. And you're loyal to them. You never compromise your relationship with Christ, but you're loyal to your friends. You'll find that in David and Jonathan. Secondly, you will find that you cannot be a friend without openness. vulnerability. When David and Jonathan built their friendship, they wept together over David's having to flee from his best friend's daddy. They wept together. They shared their hearts together. And some of us here do not have a friend like that with whom we really share our hearts. You've got to select those friends carefully. You've got to take time and let them develop. But there needs to be a place where you can open your heart, share your life struggles, share your sins and your sorrows with a friend. There must be openness. And thirdly, in the Church of Christ, you cannot have a best friend. Listen to this carefully, please, because I find that so many people stop short of a truly Christian friendship. You cannot have a truly Christian deep friendship without sharing the means of grace together. I'm talking about prayer and the reading of God's Word and mutual encouragement and accountability. Your best friends, if they are well selected and you are pursuing a Christian friendship, are the people with whom you pray. And I have to say, at that level of intimacy, you can have it with your wife, if you're a man, and with your children, and with other men. If you're a woman, you can have it with your husband or your children or with other women, because it is a very intimate sharing. And it's really inappropriate in some ways across gender boundaries, in my opinion, because it is so intimate. And I have found that the deepest cords of love are bound to a brother in praying together and sharing God's word together. Lastly, this. Jesus Christ said, "You are my friends." Have you thought about what that means? One who is completely loyal to you. One who, like little Hope that came up and hugged her daddy. Do you think there's any other kid here that Rocky was really thinking about except that little girl? The affection of a parent for a child. And that's the way God feels toward you. And he said, "That is who you are to me, precious and a friend." Until you know that friendship, you don't have what the proverb speaks about in developing that companionship with another person. The answer for a difficult marriage, the answer for a difficult friendship, the answer for loneliness is ultimately completely found in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My experience and observation and study tells me that alone is the answer for our human relationships. And so I want to ask all of us to take some moments this morning and pray and ask God to show us of these things. How do I need to grow in my friendships with other people? How can I respond to God and His words today? In my relationships with other people, you'll find a card in the pew rack this morning, my response to God. And as the ushers are coming forward, preparing to take the offering, we ask you to prepare to make your offering to God. Those of you who are members will bring your tithes and offerings. But all of us can bring our very lives and bring our friendships before the Lord and even write out our response to God's word this morning. Let's pray together and spend some moments in meditation before the Lord, seeking His will for our lives. Gracious God, we pray for Your help in our friendships and in our love for our neighbor. Help us to be wise, truly wise, in beginning friendships, in making good friends, and in making those best friends. And we ask that You'll speak to our hearts even as we wait before You in these moments of meditation. Gracious Father, hear our prayers, take our lives, and make them a sweet-smelling sacrifice before Your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends of God, let us make our offering unto Him. summer has been a very special summer for our church, and especially for those of us on the staff who are very aware of it, that we